Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. You are getting to meet a very special friend today, Mr. Warren Gafford. Thank you so much for coming and doing this today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, it is. I will tell y'all, you've been on my list to have since we started. You were one of the very first names just because I see you walking the halls. I know bits and pieces of your story, and I'm like, he's a fun guy to sit down and talk with and hear all the things. It's going to be so fun. First, how long have you been at Sagemont?
Well, Lillian and I first came to Sagemont with our family in 1971.
Okay.
And we were only here for about a year, a little over a year, and we just were invited and felt the call to go help start up a mission church in spring. And so we drove back and forth across town for 17 months doing that.
That's awesome.
Always had the intention of coming right directly back to Sagemont.
Right.
And I think we tried that four different times before we finally made it back.
Okay.
It was 18 years later when we finally got back to Sagemont.
That's awesome.
1990.
Okay.
And so
have been there since
there.
Been quite
a while. Been here since. And we always considered Sagemont to be our home, home church.
Yeah. Did you grow up in the Houston area?
No, I didn't. I grew up in New Braunfels, Central Texas, and moved there when my dad was following construction, and so we moved there when I was 4 years old.
Okay.
And I spent the rest of my school years and all there before I left for college.
Okay. Where'd you go to college?
Southwest Texas State University, which is now Texas State.
Yes.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So went there. And then when did you meet Lillian?
Well, we met in high school.
Okay.
She was a sophomore, and I was a junior. Her folks were farmers and ranchers, and they moved around from ranch to ranch. And but they moved to New Braunfels when she was in the actually in the ninth grade.
Okay.
And but I met her in the 10th.
Okay.
And someone set us up on a blind date.
No way!
And so we dated.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we dated for our last couple of years in high school.
Okay.
I guess on that very first date, that blind date, I think we both knew that.
That's amazing.
That we'd spend the rest of our lives together.
That's awesome. Yeah. So when did y'all get married?
We got married in August the 3rd, 1956.
Okay. So were you...
Just after we graduated from
high school. Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Which was not that unusual in
those days. No, that was very common. I mean, that's what most people did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So then you went to college.
Yes.
And then... What was your career after college?
Well, I had a great chemistry teacher in high school, and he sort of got me on the path of chemistry.
That's awesome.
So I majored in chemistry in college, and I sort of mixed emotions. I liked art and chemistry, and so when I first started out, I majored in chemistry with a minor in art.
I love it.
And that just would take me 8 years, I think, to ever get out with that kind of a curriculum.
Yeah.
But so I quickly dropped the art, which I also found was not my talent anyway.
But, it can be a good hobby.
Yes. Yeah. But I loved chemistry, and I when I left college, I had taught some chemistry lab courses in college for a couple of years, and I loved teaching. So I decided I wanted to be a chemistry teacher, and I did that for 5 years in high school. Didn't realize I couldn't afford to continue that and get my kids through college and do those kind of things.
Yes.
So I switched over to the chemical manufacturing industry, and I spent the rest of my career doing that.
Okay, that's awesome. So when did y'all end up in Houston?
After I graduated from college, we moved in 1961. We moved to Dickinson.
Okay.
And that's where I taught chemistry.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then... in 1971, we became enamored with this little church up here on the freeway out in the middle of a field back in those days.
Yes.
Sagemont. In the Sagemont community, we built a house in Sagemont.
Okay.
And that's when we joined Sagemont Church. Actually, we joined the church before the house was finished, and so we drove back and forth.
That's awesome.
For for a while until we got the house done.
I love that. So right here on one of the Sage Roads.
Yes.
Yes. Was Sage it a Perry Plum. Home?
Yeah, Perry Homes.
Perry Homes, yes.
I think they all were.
I know. It's so neat to look back at all of that. Mm-hmm. And how many. It's neat because at the church, you can talk to people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yes, I built a Perry home on a Sage whatever road, mm-hmm. joined Sagemont Church, and yeah. raised my family. And
enjoyed Perry. The rice fields behind the house, yes. and cattle.
It's amazing.
Cows got in my backyard one night.
That's so fun. So yeah, right here. Right mm-hmm. here by the church.
Right.
That's awesome. Okay, so then how long were y'all married before you started having kids?
Oh, just a year.
Okay, so you were finishing school and everything with babies.
Yes, we married young, started our family young.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the secrets to the good results we had in raising our kids. So we weren't that much older than they were. Enjoy the same things they did.
That's awesome. Okay, so I know all three of your children.
Yeah.
And I could tell you what I think their birth order is, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Probably.
Because I did hear the real truth, and mm-hmm. I was like, what? So is Dwayne the oldest?
Dwayne is the oldest.
Okay, so your daughter Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Yes. is the oldest. I go off of age on how tall you are. Mm-hmm. So I did David, Dennis, Dwayne, which is...
That is, that's what most
not
people
right.
think.
Yes, and that's just because of how tall they are, which I know mm-hmm. is not realistic. Yeah. But so Dwayne is the oldest.
Dwayne is the oldest.
Okay.
Then David.
Then
and
David.
Then Dennis.
Then Dennis.
And they were, Dwayne and David were 15 months apart, and David and Dennis were 13 months
okay.
apart.
Okay. So y'all were
almost
busy.
Almost had triplets.
Yes. I'm sure it felt like that some days.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I will also tell you that when we first started coming to Sagemont 20 years ago, and when David and Dennis were on the worship team singing, mm-hmm. I thought they were one person.
Yeah.
For a ridiculously long period until they were both on the stage together. And mm-hmm. I was like, wait, there's two of them.
So many people have asked us if they were twins.
Yes.
But they were close, but not twins.
Well, and it's funny because now that I know them, I'm like, they don't. Look alike.
Right, they don't.
You can definitely tell them apart. Mm-hmm. But so cool. So you had all your kids. Now, your boys, and I don't know about Dwayne, very musically inclined.
Yes, and Dwayne could sing, but she was a slave to the piano.
Okay, musical. So
she played the piano and organ.
That's awesome.
Gulf Meadows and Freedom Church for over 25 years.
That's amazing.
And actually, she still plays, but she had developed seizures when she was 45 years
okay.
old. And so that really affected her ability to play now.
To be able to
But
do
she's
that.
Very musically inclined also.
Okay. Now, are you and Lillian musically inclined to have such a family of... Music.
We were self-taught. I was a lay music director for about 25 years.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And but I was self-taught. And Lillian sang in our little choirs back in those days.
Yeah.
But she didn't consider herself musically inclined.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. So before we go much further into the conversation, because we're going to be throwing these names around.
Yes.
Part of your story and your legacy is the amount of people that you are related to at Sagemont Church.
Well,
the family tree goes far mm-hmm. and wide. And so Dwayne is married to Mac, who mm-hmm. is now our head security guy here at the church,
yes.
which his office is right around the corner from me. So I get to see mm-hmm. him almost daily, which is super fun. So he's here doing that for us. They've been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne used to be on staff when I first started mm-hmm. working here. Her office was next to mine. And then David is married to Pat Gafford and parent to Natalie Atwood.
Right.
And then what's their son's name? Patton
Thomas.
Thomas. And he mm-hmm. played in the NFL, played for Kansas City, right? Was a long snapper.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that you hear from parents that they're mm-hmm. like, yes. And he has twins.
Right.
Okay. So Natalie has two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here, super involved. Pat and Natalie do tons of stuff with women's ministry, just mm-hmm. adore them both a ton. And then Dennis.
Right.
is now married to Mitchie.
Right.
His first wife passed away.
Right.
And then he is parent to Misty Niemeyer, who you all get to see on Sunday mornings. She leads worship for us so wonderfully. So that's your grand, Misty's your granddaughter.
Right.
And she's precious. We love Misty. And then they also have a son, Marcus.
Marcus.
Okay. Look at me, y'all. Be impressed that I'm remembering all these names. Okay.
When you start throwing names out at me, I may forget some.
I know. I'm like, listen, we're just getting started. Yeah. So then Marcus. And so those are your three kids and their children. They have grandchildren and all of that.
Yeah.
And they're here and they're active. And they're so kind and so sweet. And let me tell you, I talked to Natalie last week and Misty this week and told them I was going to sit down with you. And they were both like, what? He hasn't told us. No, what's he did? They were both so excited. Mm-hmm. They're like, you are going to love it. He's wonderful. They love you so much.
Well, thank you.
They love you so much.
It's mutual.
I'm sure. And then one of the really cool things about y'all's family tree is Dennis's wife.
Yes.
That passed away, Misty's mama.
Phyllis.
Mm-hmm. Twin sister, identical twin sister,
right,
with Paula Barnett.
Right.
Who also has been at Sagemont for forever. She's just the most adorable thing. Paula's in the choir. She's on the left when you look at the stage. Little, precious little thing. And identical twin sisters.
Right.
And the Barnett family is long and wide and has deep roots here at Sagemont as well. But when I think about your family, I include them.
And I do also.
I know y'all do. Mm-hmm. Was that, I mean, just because of the...
Well...
How did that happen?
It happened because they were twins and they were inseparable.
Okay.
And Paula married Randy Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Randy and Dennis became very close friends.
Okay.
They had a double wedding. Phyllis and...
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
I did not know that. Did they really?
Yes, they did. Dennis and Randy joined the police academy the same day.
Wow.
And their careers mirrored each other. And when the twins began having kids,
yes,
they were not like cousins. They were brother and sister.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were all family, and they have remained family to this day. And so it was just a natural occurrence that they just all were included together in everything that we did.
I love that.
Leigh just adopted them as her grandkids and great-grandkids and so on. And I did also. So it's just one big happy family.
I love it so much. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is just that large group of people are so close, are so purposeful in spending time together.
Yes.
How did that start? Was that a you and Lillian going, we want to see everybody? So we're going to get together. Was it just there's so many of us, we have to figure out how to stay connected?
Actually, it was another one of those things that God had put together. Mm. We're not that organized.
Right.
But back when we lived in Dickinson, after our Sunday evening services that we had back then.
Yes.
Leon was the most caring person I've ever seen. She would always invite one or two couples over to our house after church. And back then, we didn't have much money, and so she was always very frugal.
Yeah.
We found that you could feed several couples on a can of tuna fish and a couple of cans of tuna fish and a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And so we had tuna fish sandwiches. And we'd invite folks over. Most of them had kids around the age of ours.
Okay.
And so we had a bunch of kids running around.
Yes.
That's how we eventually began to call it Tuna.
Tuna. And it is still going strong.
And that's been 60 years ago.
Yes.
And But as we branched out with friends, we had other people come over and all. And then as we moved up to Sagemont, some of the Sagemont friends, but we did that every Sunday night and still do.
That's amazing.
And not in our house anymore.
Right.
We started to move around from house to house, mm-hmm. and we don't have tuna.
Right.
Very seldom do we actually have tuna anymore. In fact, we call it our BYOT. Bring your own tuna.
Bring your own. There
and
you
so
go. I love it.
People will bring whatever they want to eat. But we fellowship together and just have a good time of loving on each other every Sunday evening.
Y'all, what a huge encouragement. It doesn't have to be this huge thing with a huge meal and super fancy and all the stuff. You just go, it's about relationship.
That's right.
And people.
That's the thing. It's the love, the relationships, the people that we just love getting together.
Yeah.
In fact, if we have to miss for some reason, it's pretty common for our younger generations to sort of pitch a fit because much miss that opportunity to get together with families.
So, yeah, it's just beautiful. I think, you and I were talking a little bit earlier this week, and you're like, we've been so blessed that our children love the Lord and they're in the church, and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And I would think a huge piece of that is just the purposefulness of being together and knowing each other and being a part of each other's lives and accountability and encouragement all probably happens at that Sunday evenings.
I think there's just so many things that have grown out of that. One thing I see in our kids, their relationships were with family more so than the influences of other people in society.
Mm-hmm.
So many times you see kids that are led astray by those outside relationships.
Absolutely.
And that hasn't happened with our group.
Yeah.
And I think largely because of the close camaraderie that we have within the family.
Yeah. I just adore that. It's so amazing, y'all. What a good encouragement for all of us. Make time. Mm-hmm. Get together. And I also love, I'm not a part of the Gafford Barnett family, but if I was like, hey, I want to come to Tuna Sunday night, y'all would go, come on.
Yes.
Come hang out. Come hang out, And so I love that there's that part too. Mm-hmm. And the extended family, everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. So if they're like, hey, I know this person's struggling, they're going to come. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring them over. Mm-hmm. And there's just, it's not exclusive.
No.
And it's not elitist or it's, hey, we're going to be jumping in the pool and hanging out and doing whatever. And come on.
Yes.
And so welcoming and so kind, not just to y'all, but outwardly is just really, really sweet.
Well, thank you.
Y'all do a good job.
Thank you.
I know you have a huge heart, and I want us to spend the rest of our time talking about your precious wife, Lillian. And she... I did not get to know her well, but I did get to know her, and she was kind and had a huge smile every time I got to see her at church. Yes. And y'all, it's cool when you're like, hey, I want to talk to Warren. And he's like, here's this book and here's this book. So fun. But y'all, he wrote these two precious books. The first one, Lillian's Story.
Yes.
You wrote this one about her cancer journey.
Yes. And it was actually premature. At the time, we could see God intervening in her life so much, so clearly. And I kept notes of every doctor's visit, everything that she did. And at the time that I wrote that book, she had basically beaten her cancer.
Yes.
God
intervened. I love that when you go through here, you'll see like miracle number one, miracle number two. I mean, it's just so encouraging and exciting.
I call them miracles. I believe they were.
Absolutely.
Some people may say, well, that's God's intervention, but hesitate to call them miracles. Nevertheless, I think they are.
I love it.
But anyway, I wrote that one not knowing that she had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
We had always been led to believe that she had, from her first chemo on, she had memory issues that the doctors called chemo brain. They thought that this would eventually clear up, at least for the most part. And it wasn't really until after I wrote that book that we realized that she actually had dementia.
Right.
And so, as I say, that book was very premature, and I felt obligated to write the second one.
Which is wonderful. The rest of the story is a beautiful book, too. And in looking at these, this was a long journey for y'all.
Yes, it was.
From diagnosis of cancer, was it when?
In the fall of 2009.
Okay, that's what I thought. I remember when I looked at that, I was like, I did not realize it had been that long of a journey.
Yeah.
And her cancer journey was from 09 to what, 16, 17?
Actually, the end of 2017, early 2018.
Okay.
And I say that, but she was in remission for a good part of that last several years.
Okay,
But before she was basically declared cancer-free.
Yeah.
So.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
And just really, 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 really great and awesome. And then it was what, in 2020, during the pandemic, that y'all actually got a diagnosis or took her to a hospital?
We actually got the diagnosis in 2019.
Okay.
And right at the beginning of the pandemic, and maybe, yes, it was in 2019.
Yeah. And I thought it was so interesting that I thought you did such a good job of differentiating what type of dementia she had. I was shocked, and this is just me not knowing, that there are multiple kinds and they can tell different things. And I thought it was so interesting in here when you talk about, we just walked in the room and the doctor could see her gait and things she was doing and said, okay, this is this and not this.
Yeah, the whole process was an educational process for me. I knew nothing about dementia, even though after the fact, we think Lillian's mother probably had the same disease.
Right.
But she was first diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And she was given medication for that after we actually waited far too long had we realized that she didn't have chemo brain.
Right.
After she was first diagnosed with Alzheimer's, her doctor gave her medications, her neurologist, and asked her to come back in 6 months and to reevaluate the medications. And the medications actually worked fairly well up until right close to the end of that 6 months.
Okay.
But when we walked into her neurologist's office, when she walked through the door, she said, oh, she doesn't have Alzheimer's. That pretty well floored both of us.
Yes.
I don't know that Lillian really realized what was happening, but I couldn't even ask a question. I just waited, and she did some in-office tests.
Right.
And she told us that I really think that she has Lewy body. Dementia.
Okay.
And which she confirmed. And one of the things, besides her gait that she noticed when she walked in, she asked her to write a sentence. And Leon wrote a sentence, and it was so small, the handwriting was so small, you could barely see it. And she said, it's classic.
Really?
Wow. Lewy body. But she was then diagnosed with Lewy body dementia with Parkinson's characteristics.
Okay.
And her medications were all wrong, and that's why they began to
not work.
And apparently, many of the dementias will morph from one form into another.
Okay.
And that's apparently what had happened in her case. I have a friend that had a similar diagnosis. He was then re-diagnosed just recently with Parkinson's dementia.
Wow.
So it's just amazing that how little we know about the brain.
Yes, absolutely.
And how much we think that they ought to be able to find a way to unplug the brain with all the technology we have. Yes. But I think someday they will.
Yeah.
But hope so.
Someday, yes. Yeah. And so then, so 2019, 2020, and so then the last 2 years, because she passed away in 2022, right?
2022.
So kind of the last 2 years of her life.
Yeah.
Just one, talk about how you got through that. And maybe you didn't. Maybe it was day to day.
I still get emotional. No,
please, it is totally fine.
But it was a learning process.
Yeah.
And how I got through it was God and family.
I love that.
A lot of prayers, mm-hmm. and the kids were just outstanding.
Yeah,
they never left our sides during that mm-hmm. period. I can't tell you how many times I had to call one of them at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. When
Leon would wake up during the night and see a strange man in bed with her.
Yeah,
and she would panic, and
sure.
she was absolutely terrified. And that was her demeanor during much of that last couple of years. But I would call one of the kids to come over. Most of the time, she would still recognize mm-hmm. the kids.
I was going to say, tell the story about Dennis coming over, because you wrote about that, and it made me laugh.
Very humorous story, because Dennis was the closest by, and so most of the time I would call him mm-hmm. because he could get there quickly.
Right.
And if he was available, I would call him. And one time, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I called him and asked him to come over to help settle Lillian down, because she was just panicking. She was terrified. She didn't know who I was, and so I told her, well, let me call Dennis. And she, there was a measure of familiarity with the name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he got there, and I could tell that she didn't really recognize mm-hmm. him either.
Right.
So Dennis asked her, said, Mom, do you know who I am? And she said, I know for a good minute or two. She studied him, and she looked up, and she said, well, I don't know who you are, but with that beard, you must be trying to be somebody. And
I love that so much.
We all got into a giggling fit.
Yes.
Including Lillian.
That's great.
And that moment of levity, well, it just calmed her down.
Yeah.
And that, but there's just so many strange things that happened that even though she still didn't know who either one of us was,
right.
she felt safe and secure.
That's good.
And it's just so many times we just didn't know how to make that happen.
Right. Yeah.
And, it was a very difficult time, but family was
huge.
The key.
Yes.
And some powerful prayer warriors.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think it's so amazing to see that God put even in her heart 60 years ago to start having people over for tuna fish, because God knew y'all were going to need these close bonds and these close relationships.
Absolutely.
To walk through this.
I have no doubt that was his plan all along. Our whole move up to Sagemont.
Yeah.
I could put in that plan.
Yes.
I can see it now.
Right.
I couldn't see it at the time.
Yes. I just think that's absolutely beautiful. I know here at Sagemont, we have a dementia care support group that meets.
Yes.
And if you are someone that's in this, that's looking at this, please look into that. It's a great thing that we are able to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Friends I know who's parents have walked through dementia. I know it is something that you can't understand it until you've walked through it.
Yes.
If you, and I'm sure you do, get opportunity to talk to people who are walking through it.
A number of people.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to have the opportunity to be able to share what little I learned.
Yes.
I read everything I could find on it.
Yeah.
And, but it's no two cases are exactly alike, mm-hmm. but the impact on the caregiver is pretty much the same for all of them.
It's huge. Yes.
And so I hope that I can have a little bit of an impact and help them in some way to weather that storm.
Absolutely. And to walk through that. And y'all, I know Warren is, you see him on Sunday mornings, go up and say, hey, I saw you talking on Table Talk. Can we grab coffee? Can we just, like, I know he would love to get to sit down and share
yes.
what the Lord's walked you through and given you the ability to walk through yes. and be able to use that.
It would certainly be my honor.
Yeah. And is there somewhere people can get these books?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Okay, y'all.
And, you can buy them on Amazon. And
okay,
I
great.
I think the last time I looked, they were both up in the 8,000 to 13,000, or million, rather, on the bestseller list. So,
so right anyway, up there.
Here's a... so they're cheap.
That's okay. Y'all, listen, but, really, truly, if you are someone walking through caring for a parent or a spouse that's walking through any kind of dementia, Alzheimer's, this is such, and y'all, I was telling Warren, he gave it to me earlier this week, and it's a quick read, but it's so insightful and honest and real, but it also makes you giggle
yeah.
at times. He's great about putting that in there. There's pictures. It's just, it really is a good thing. Because I was telling you, one of the things you wrote in here that I was like, how did you think of this when you were in the house and she wouldn't recognize you? And she would be saying, where's Warren? Where's Warren? Y'all, the Lord gave him, or somebody told you this was a great idea. Walk out the front door. You'd walk back in the back door and say, honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
And she would calm down.
Everything. It just, every time I would come in, I would just say in a loud voice, happy voice, which is she needed. Honey, I'm home. And she would come, give me a hug.
Yeah.
But she would always ask me, where's that other guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just say, he's gone. Yeah. And just have to learn to get into her world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how important that is to try to find ways. And I'd always told her that I would never lie to her.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was in another world, you say whatever you need to say to get into her world and help her to feel a little bit of comfort mm-hmm. and relief and safety.
Yes.
Security.
Yes.
It's just, yeah. She hallucinated a lot toward the end, and her family would always be on her mind, and mm-hmm. she would... she enjoyed going out to eat, and that's about the only thing she could still
okay.
enjoy. And so if we'd leave the house to go to eat, well, she'd say, well, isn't Daddy going with us?
Yeah.
And, of course, Daddy had been dead for many years.
Sure.
But I would just tell her, no, he's resting right now, and that would satisfy her. So we'd go on to eat. And
mm-hmm.
But there's so many things like that you just have to try to find a way to get into her world mm-hmm. and try to let her feel a little bit of... security.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing I think you would be willing to chat with people about is after she passed away.
Yes.
And you had years of this was you cared for her.
Yes.
This is what you did.
Yes.
But one thing that I have seen from a distance watching you, you're back at church. You're back involved. You're doing.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm sure it was not easy. And I think people say, how do you continue?
Yeah. Well, there again, I really don't think I could have had it not been for family.
Yeah.
They were such an encouragement.
Absolutely.
During all that time. But there were, for the last 3 years, we just couldn't attend church.
Sure.
We watched online. Of course, she didn't absorb much or any,
mm-hmm.
but we kept abreast of everything that was going on. We have a wonderful Bible study class, Soul Support.
Yes.
And they were such an encouragement. But for about 3 years, we didn't go. I can't tell you how much I missed the fellowship with the people in church.
So. Yeah.
I hate to use the word relief, but at that point, it was really a relief to be able to get back into mm-hmm. church. For the first several months, I would always get here. In fact, I still do try to get here at least 30 minutes or even an hour early
mm-hmm.
Before the 9:30 service and just sort of sit around, walk the halls, yep. meet people. And
no, I'm telling you, you'll see Warren walking around. Come early. Yeah. He's out there. I see you.
But can't tell you how much I missed that
yeah.
fellowship with our brothers and sisters
mm-hmm.
in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That made it so easy.
Yeah.
Seeing those familiar faces again and mm-hmm. being able to fellowship with the folks.
Yeah.
And of course, when a lot of this was going on during the pandemic, so
right.
we couldn't come.
Everybody was home.
Everybody was
yes.
in that same boat, and I know they all felt the same kind of relief yeah. when they were able to get back into their mm-hmm. house of worship.
Yes, absolutely. So. I think, you know, sitting and listening to you, one of the things I'm taking away from this is don't wait until you're in the hard thing
no.
to try to build the relationships and build the
Absolutely.
Community and do all that. It's like God says, mm-hmm. this is so important. Do this mm-hmm. thing because you are going to go through the hard.
Yeah.
And then you have that support system. Mm-hmm. That foundation is already
Absolutely.
There.
Family comes in a lot of forms.
Yeah.
And your church family is just as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so make a lot of friends and yeah. and lean on them when you need
That's right.
to.
Yeah. So all of you that are listening or watching and are like, but Sagemont's a really big place, or I just got here and it's hard to meet people and I'm uncomfortable or I'm nervous or mm-hmm. all those things. Y'all do the hard thing. Take yeah. the next steps. Get connected. It's
yes.
so important.
Oh, that. Get into an iConnect group because that's where you find a small
yes.
church within the large.
Amen.
And that's where your relationships
that's
right. begin in,
mm-hmm.
in that small
yes.
group setting.
Yeah.
Worship is wonderful. We've got to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to have those right. personal relationships
right.
with the
You need to be connected to
family.
People. Yes, I love that. And I want to show y'all just a couple other things because I just think they're super fun. One, okay, some of you will be like, I remember that. Some of you might still have it somewhere in your house. But Sagemont, we did a magazine for years called Sagemont Life. And it was so fun. It would come in the mail or you could pick it up here. And back, ooh, I'd have to see, I didn't even look, 2011, there's a whole article about all the Gafford Barnett crew. And it was so fun going back and reading this because I was like, Misty doesn't have kids, you know, in this.
Yeah.
I was like, all the little people, Lainey Thompson's just a tiny little thing in here. All the little people. And, but just so cool that the legacy of your family here at Sagemont mm-hmm. has made a huge impact at our church.
Well, thank you.
And I just think it's amazing that you've been... You and Lillian both were so purposeful mm-hmm. and followed the Lord and were quick to say yes to the things that he called you to.
Mostly Lillian.
I love that.
She was the most wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But she had that infectious smile and compassionate heart.
She did.
That just touched everyone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she really, really did. And I love... seeing that in her children and in her grandchildren. I'm sure
yes.
you see that
yes.
in the legacy that she
yes.
has left, which
yes.
is just beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love that. One thing that Dennis did with Warren, and I have been wanting to do it with my parents, and I just want to, listen, we aren't sponsored by anybody, but this is just really cool. Some of you might have done this, but it's called Storyworth. And what it is they set it up, and once a week you would get a question.
Yes.
And you would write a story about that question.
Yes.
For 52 weeks, and then you can get it as like a hardbound book, and it's the story of, you know, Warren's life. And this is so... I just think this is so beautiful because your great, great grandchildren will get to read this.
Yes.
You know, the legacies that aren't even mm-hmm. here yet will get to know you.
Yes.
In a way that if you hadn't taken the time to do it, mm-hmm. would be stories, but not written. And you can upload pictures and it's just the neatest thing. And I love that, Dennis got you this. I love that you took the time to do it.
Thank you.
I just think that's such a neat blessing yeah. for your family.
That was, in fact, all three of those books were really intended to have something that my great-grandchildren and the generations to come could look back and know a little bit of, mm-hmm. about who we were.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things, and it's amazing to me in going back and searching back through my memory that some things came out that even our kids had no
clue. Right, hadn't heard the story. Yes.
About what we'd gone through, and particularly about what my parents had gone through.
Yeah.
And my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. So cool. So, I mean, in writing books, people always say, oh, I should write a book. But it's a whole deal.
Yeah, it is.
And was that just something that, even how you were saying you took notes and you read up and you wanted to be on, was that your whole life you've always been like that? Was that because of walking through all of this with Lillian, it became out of you?
Well, I've always had the opportunity and obligation to write stories. At the plant that I worked in,
okay.
I was in a position where every month I had to write some kind of a story for some of the employees there.
Okay.
And so I did a lot of that. I've always had an interest in the literary and the in writing. Probably can't tell it from my style.
No, it's very good.
But I've always had an interest in writing.
Yeah.
And I have declared I'm done. I'm not writing anything else.
Okay, you're good. Well, you have left an amazing legacy of what you have written.
Thank you.
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful. And I so appreciate your willingness to talk about hard things.
Thank you.
Because we know so many people are walking through really hard things. And a lot of times they feel like nobody else understands, or they can't be sad. They can't hurt. They have to have this front of always being together. And I so appreciate your willingness to say, no, this was hard and this hurts and it still hurts and it's a process.
Yes.
But I also love that you say all of that and then you go, but God is good.
Yes.
And just adore that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
We learned to lean on a number of scriptures, but James 1, 2, and 3, we're all going to have trials. And God put them there so that we could learn and establish patience in our life. And God's good.
I love that. Thank you for coming and hanging out today.
Well, thank you.
I hope you had fun.
I did.
Loved it. I love getting to hear stories and you
with
have
fear and trembling.
I know. But you did it. Yay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. And y'all, really, truly, when you see Warren, go up, introduce yourself, tell him thank you. I know he will love to sit and chat with you. So, like we said, he's here Sunday mornings. Come to the lobby, look for Warren.
Yes.
You will find him. So, thanks for spending time with us. Thanks for sharing Lillian with all of us. We appreciate that. Y'all, have a great rest of your day, evening, whatever time you're listening to this, and we will see you next time on Table Talk.